Tonight as well, we're on this evening, and Thomas is going to be preaching on who is Jesus, who do you say he is, from Mark's Gospel. But this morning, we're in Romans. We're doing this thing in Romans every so often. So this morning, we're in Romans chapter 3. If you have a Bible, please turn it there. Romans chapter 3, from verse 21. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God, that you are our God, that you are a good God. We thank you that you have given us your word. We pray that you would speak to us and you would be blessed in the reading of your word. Amen. Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been made manifest, has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Amen. Well, there is something that most of you here carry about every day with you, something that can illustrate the things that Paul just said, something you probably have with you right now, and it can illustrate the truth of the gospel. It's not your phone. It is a thin piece of plastic. Maybe you haven't got one yet. Maybe you've had one before, but not anymore. But most people have a bank card. So I want to tell you how a bank card can illustrate what Paul is saying by an experience that any one of us can have. If this has never happened to you before, I want you to think about what it might feel like if it did happen to you. And if it has happened to you, then you have a real taste of what Paul is talking about. It's happened to me before, more than once, so I know what it feels like, and it can happen when you don't expect it. It's two simple words, that appear when you put your card in the ATM. Insufficient funds. Now, the times when this happened weren't because I was trying to get money out of an unused account. I expected money to be in that account. I worked hard. I had earned a wage. But nevertheless, insufficient funds. All I'm getting out of that is a hug. But what Paul is talking about here is righteousness. The thing that we lack is the thing that we all need, righteousness. So the obvious connection is that when it comes to righteousness, we all have insufficient funds. But if we go back a few verses to what Paul was saying, it looks like he's saying something quite extreme. If you look at from verse 10 onwards, he says, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. Regardless of your view, most people would agree that no one's perfect. No one is only righteous and nothing else. But would you really say that no one does good? Not even one. You see, this is what's often called total depravity. It seems quite extreme, but it's often misunderstood. For instance, does total depravity mean that every human being is as bad as they could possibly be. This just isn't the case. Rather, total depravity means that corruption has reached every part of us. We've been totally affected. So when Paul says no one does good, not even one, he's talking about how it relates to righteousness. For instance, in Ecclesiastes 7:20, it says, "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." So when Paul quotes Psalm 14, when he says that line, he's shown how people have turned away from God. Psalm 14 says, "The fool in his heart says, there is no God. They've all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one." You see, it's not so much that people cannot do charitable things. It's that our actions do not amount to righteousness, no matter how good our actions are. We just don't do only what is right. Humanity has been corrupt in their nature. So doing only what is right is not in our nature. And this is the difference between the degree of depravity and the extent of depravity. We're not totally corrupt in the sense that we're as bad as we could ever be, but we are corrupt all over in that we can never be good enough to be righteous. So we have insufficient funds of righteousness, but the reason I wanted to delve into that was because he's talking about something deeper than merely a lack of sufficient righteousness. You see, when a person puts their card in an ATM and it comes up insufficient funds, it's not because they didn't earn any money. It's not because they didn't work hard. It's that the money that they earned was swallowed up in debt. You see, the debt was greater than the money that they worked for. See, it's not like people don't do good things, but we all have a debt that is greater than any good we can do. Some people can't understand why God would allow people who do good things not to get into heaven and even let others in who do bad things. But the thing is, it doesn't matter if you've done a million more good things than the next person. We all have a debt that is greater than any good we can do. So our good things are swallowed up in debt. And in the end, we have insufficient funds. Whether you experience this at an ATM or not, we all have insufficient funds in our account. And so I want to run through four things that we all have in common. No matter who you are in life, no matter whether you're a Christian or not, whatever your beliefs, whatever your class or whatever, these four things level the playing field. Okay, these are the four things. We are all made by God in his image. We have all sinned, so we all die. We will all stand before God as judge. And we can all have faith in God's Son. So let's run through these four things and we'll see one other thing after this that is a game changer. Okay, number one, we are all made by God in his image. You've probably seen these pictures on social media, how it began and how it's going. This is how it began. You were created by God. Whoever you are, God made you. And he made you in his image. You're not a random mutation of evolution without meaning or design or purpose. You're God's creation. He made you and you are his. God wants you to exist. You are part of his amazing creation. You're a walking, talking creation of God, and he put his signature all over your life. According to Romans chapter 1, you are part of God's creation that shows off his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature. That's you. You show off God's divine nature. So when someone says there is no God, they don't realize that according to Romans 1, they themselves are proof of his existence. See, Paul starts his letter showing how God's creation has become corrupt and his creation is going to ruin, but the whole letter is about the extraordinary lengths that God goes to redeem his creation from corruption. He will go to extraordinary lengths to bring you back to the purpose that he created you for. This is the first thing that levels the playing field, that we are all made by God in his image. Therefore, no one comes to God with any less value than the next person. All are eternally valuable to God. That's how it began, but how is it going? Number two, we have all sinned, so we all die. The only person who can deny this is either a liar or a madman. As the saying goes, in this world, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Nothing is certain but death and taxes. It's a well-known saying because it's a well-known experience. Even Benjamin Franklin said it shortly after signing the US Constitution. And he said about the Constitution, it has the appearance that promises permanency, but in this world, nothing can be said to be certain but death and taxes. And although some people try to avoid paying taxes, some of the richest people on the planet, ironically, for instance, Jeff Bezos, Amazon founder and second richest man on the planet, paid zero federal tax in 2007 and 2011. Does not make you sick? Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla and the world's richest man, paid zero federal tax in 2018. No matter how much money they have, no matter how much they can avoid taxes, neither of them will avoid death. We have all sinned, so we all die. This is the second thing that levels the playing field. It doesn't matter if you're a person of faith or not. We all die. The Bible says that this is a result of sin. It's what Paul says in verse 23, isn't it? It's what Paul says in chapter 6, isn't it? The wages of sin is death. It's the debt that absorbs any good that we do. It's like a man who commits a crime, but is otherwise a law-abiding citizen. He can continue doing good all his life, but he will still be guilty of that crime. So in verse 23, Paul says, there's no distinction. There's no distinction between anyone. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have this debt. Not only do we have this debt of sin, but we've all inherited it. It's both a debt we inherit and a debt that we contribute to. The reason for this is because in the beginning, sin not only corrupted the individual, but corrupted the nature of that individual. And as we all came from that common ancestor, Adam, we all share his nature. Just as the offspring of dogs is dogs, the offspring of cats is cats and not dogs, the offspring of sinful humans, sinful humans. Sinful humans cannot produce sinless humans. It's part of our nature. Paul says in chapter 5, sin came into the world through one man and death reigned through death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. That's the second thing that levels the playing field. We have all sinned, so we all die. Therefore, no one comes to God any more deserving than the next person. No one comes to God any more deserving than you. Thirdly, we will all stand before God as judge. Paul goes through this letter systematically showing how all humans are in the same boat. There's no distinction. Whether you're a Jew with the law or a non-Jew without the law, we've all sinned. We will all die. We all have no excuse. And throughout, he also systematically shows that God is the creator. He's the God of all. Verse 29, he writes, is God the God of Jews only? Is he not God of the Gentiles also? Yes, he is. That's you and me. You see, in chapter 1, God is the creator of all. In chapter 3, again, there's no distinction. Verse 22, he's the God of all. Verse 29, then in chapter 10, verse 12, again, there's no distinction. For the same Lord is Lord of all. He's talking about God's Son, Jesus. Then in chapter 14, again, about Jesus, Christ died and lived that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Do you see that? It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or not a Jew. It doesn't even matter if you're dead or alive. God is God of all. Finally, in chapter 14, verse 10 to 12, God is the judge of all. So each of us will give an account to God. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew, doesn't matter if you're not a Jew, doesn't matter if you're religious or not, doesn't even matter if you're dead or alive. We will all stand before God and give an account. And as before, when we give an account of our account, we will have insufficient funds. We will not only have no righteousness to withdraw and present to God, but we will also have a debt that stands against us. What are we to do? This is the third thing that levels the playing field. We will all stand before God as judge. Therefore, no one comes to God with any more favor than the next person. You can't buy this judge. Our passage says that God is righteous. God is just. God always does what is right. There is no injustice with God. All accounts will be settled and will be settled in a way that is just and right. But not only is God just, he is also the justifier. You see, we can't justify ourselves, but God can. How? Fourth thing is, we can all have faith in God's Son. You see, because God always does what is right and there's no distinction, God does not show favoritism. If every human being cannot gain righteousness required by our own efforts, how can God make a way, not just for some, but for all of us? We're all in this predicament. He's not going to make a way just for the Jews or just for the rich or whatever. He makes a way for everyone. A way that isn't limited to one group, but a way that is available to all people. All people are able to have faith. All people are able to trust. And so from even long before Jesus, the law and the prophets bear witness to the fact that the righteousness of God comes through faith, and faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. It is by trust in Jesus, trust in his account and not our account. Trust that he has sufficient funds. Trust in his promise that number one, Colossians 2:14, he cancels the record of debt that stood against us, nailing it to the cross. And trust in his promise that Romans 5:17, we receive the free gift of righteousness, his righteousness. You see, we can all have faith in God's Son. Therefore, no one comes to God with any more ability than you. This is available for all. And finally, the one thing that is the game changer, it is the blood of Jesus. This is the great game changer. No other way will suffice in paying the debt that we owe God. You see, in Psalm 49, David writes, truly no man can ransom another. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom is costly and can never suffice that he should live on forever and never see the pit. Do you hear that? No man can do it. No man can bring anything that will ever suffice. Doesn't matter how many dollars Elon Musk brings to the table, it will never suffice in cancelling the debt, paying the ransom. No man can do it. The ransom is costly, and his payment, no matter how much, can never suffice. This tells us, number one, this is how much God values life. Way more than any human being places value in life. God values life in such that you can never do anything sufficient to pay for a life. Life is too costly. And secondly, no human can do it. No human can ransom another. So in relation to Jesus, this must mean that he's not a mere human. No man can ransom another. No man can give to God the price for his life. Except later in the psalm it says, but God will ransom my soul from the power of death, for he will receive me. You see, God is the one that pays the ransom. Only God can pay the ransom. Yet, in our passage in verse 25, God himself put Jesus forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. You see, if this was the one thing put forward to do the thing that nothing else can suffice in doing, then how could we ever think there was another way? No other road, no other religion, no other path, no other way leads to heaven, for there is only one way. And when Jesus' friend Thomas asked him what that way was, Jesus said, I am the way. Paul writes in Galatians that if there were another way, Jesus wouldn't have died. The fact that he died shows there was no other way. Even if a man were perfect, he could still be tainted by sin. Look at Adam, that happened to him. Whereas Jesus is a different kind of man. He's the Son of God. Jesus never sinned, nor could he ever be tainted by sin because he's the Son of God. His righteousness was not just that of a man, but the righteousness of God. Yet he took our sin on the cross. He took our debt, and his righteousness completely absorbed our debt. And so if you have faith in him, if you trust in Jesus, and everyone can, he not only absorbs your debt on the cross, but he credits your account with his righteousness. You see, he is the way. Jesus is the only way. And he is put forward by his blood to be received by faith. Have faith in the only one who can take our debt and give us the righteousness that we need. And if you do have this faith, then there is no guilt in life, for your record has been cancelled. There is no fear in death, for his promises to give you eternal life. And when you go to give an account before God, your debt will be gone and your account will be filled with Jesus' righteousness. This is what you have when you have faith in Christ. And if you don't yet have faith in Christ, you don't need to leave here without it. Let me pray and then we're going to sing a couple of songs. God, our Heavenly Father, you are the God of all, every human being. You made us in your image, yet we have all sinned, and so we all die. And because we are yours, we will stand before you and give an account. But you would not let your good creation go to ruin. You have made a way for us. You have put forward your Son, Jesus, by his blood to clear our debt, that we might receive his righteousness, to be received by faith. God, let us know what it is to have that freedom, that joy, that knowledge of what Christ has done, that burden lifted, that joy in life, that hope in death because of your Son, Jesus, and his blood. Help us to always have faith in him, and help that faith give us confidence and joy and hope forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to share communion together.
We'll stand to sing Jesus Messiah.